Hallelujah. I love to hear preachers sing. It's just like they're preaching the song, amen? Except if they're like me. I don't want to hear myself sing. And there are some preachers that can't sing, and we need to admit it, Brother Ricky. I'm just kidding. Brother Ricky, I'll take that. Brother Ricky can sing. I should say Brother Raines. That's probably a bit more accurate. Huh, Brother Raines? Amen. But he is. Well, let me get somebody that can't sing then. Who can't sing here that's a preacher? Who? Yeah, that's me. That's it. I'll just take it. I'll just take it. I know y'all just rather me lip sing sometimes, but that's all right. We got three singing preachers in this church. How about that? I want y'all to get a trio? Let's get one of those together, the three preachers. Wouldn't that be good? Y'all think y'all could arrange that, Brother Ricky? Man, we're not going to make it a quartet with me, I'm telling you. But I'd love to hear those preachers sing. That'd be a blessing to me, and thank God for it. But praise the Lord, good service already this morning, and honoring our veterans, and praise the Lord for that. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10 is where we'll be this morning. Daniel chapter 10. I thank the Lord for our country and many. I know in the news a lot of the attention goes to those that I believe are dishonoring our flag and our veterans. And yes, you say, don't they have a right? They do. They do have a right, but that doesn't take away the fact that I believe it's dishonoring. Some of athletes, professional athletes and others are just dishonoring that, but I'm thankful for those that still stand. I'm thankful for those that still honor our veterans. And boy, it was a blessing. Man, it just seems to grow each year. And for veterans like me, I'm telling you, we're thankful. The list seems to grow of restaurants that give away free food on Veterans Day. And you better believe I took advantage of it yesterday. Amen. I enjoyed every bite of my hot wing. I want to tell you, of hot wings, I got 12 if you want to know how many. But it was a blessing. You go around and you got stores giving discounts. I mean, I'm serious. You go online and you type in restaurants or businesses that honor veterans, and it is just, it's overwhelming. There are some that's disrespect and dishonor, but let that not be taken away from those that still stand. Those that still make it a point to honor our veterans. There are many folks in our country, and so thankful for that, for those restaurants and those businesses and others that still make it a point to do such a thing. And we're going to be in Daniel chapter 10, and I love the way the Lord works out messages. Even as I preach expository messages, and as we have gone through the book of Daniel over the past year, we did not plan on this Veterans Day being this message. I didn't know where we would be a year from now into the book of Daniel. I let the Holy Spirit lead in that. But it just so happens that we're finding ourselves at the beginning part of chapter 10, and it is very fitting for Veterans Day. And you're going to say, well, how are you going to get that? I'll explain here in just a moment. With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message to you titled this, A Veteran of Spiritual Warfare. A Veteran of Spiritual Warfare. Let's pray together. Father, I'm thankful, oh Lord God, for your goodness. Lord, thankful for your people who have come to worship this morning. I'm thankful for your Spirit, Lord, leading in the songs and leading in the prayers and the preaching. Lord, thank you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus who came for us, who truly gave of his life, who would come to this earth and die on an old rugged cross. And he would rise again triumphantly the third day. And we give you glory, O God. We thank you for that. And so, Lord, as we look to your word this morning, would you help us to understand that we all are in the service of the King. And dear God, would you help us to understand the responsibility that comes along with that service. And we'll thank You for what You do this morning. Oh God, for eternity's sake and for Your glory, I do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is recorded that there are currently 18.8 million veterans in America today. That's a lot of veterans, folks. That's a lot of people that have served their country, and how thankful we are. We honor them this weekend, and we honor them every chance we get. I think of all those that have given themselves, whether it be a year or 2 years or 4 years, or some have made a career out of it and have served over 20 years in our military. Those that have given their lives, I think of World War II veterans. You know, there were 16 million Americans that served in World War II. That's mind-boggling. I can't even get my mind wrapped around that. 16 million Americans who served in World War II. And did you know, of the 16 million, as of 2017, there are only 558,000 World War II veterans still with us. And the rate that they are passing is very quick. In fact, if I'm correct, it's 362 World War II veterans are dying daily. 362. I'm thankful for our veterans. I'm thankful for those that have served. And I would never take away from that. But this morning's message, as we honor our veterans, we'll be honoring a veteran in the Word of God. His name is Daniel. No, not necessarily a war veteran in the sense of taking up arms and fighting an enemy. But I will say this. He's a veteran of spiritual warfare. He was a faithful soldier of the Lord God, the God of Israel. He was a faithful soldier even up to the end of his life, where we come to in chapter 10, Daniel, who probably being in his late 80s, by this time, is still faithfully serving the Lord. And we're going to get a picture here, folks, in Daniel chapter 10 of Daniel getting even more of an understanding of the spiritual warfare that he's been engaging in. And something that God expects each of us to do as well. Now, this chapter 10 is the opening scene of Daniel's last vision. You'll remember, up until this point, Daniel has had three visions. This will be leading into his fourth. The first one was of the four beasts in chapter 7. Then in chapter 8, we see where Daniel had the vision of the ram and the goat. And then in chapter 9, the chapter we just preached through, it was the vision of the 70 weeks. And we come to this last portion of the book of Daniel, chapters 10, 11, and 12. It will be primarily speaking around the fourth vision of Daniel. It is really, and we see here what's interesting about chapter 10, is that this is indeed a preparation for the vision. God has to get His servant ready for what he is about to see and the vision that God will give him. We see that this is a preparation of what we'll see in chapter 11 as God begins to clarify and give revelation to Daniel through His servant messenger Gabriel. You know, another distinction about this chapter, another characteristic is this. I don't know, Brother Ricky, if there are any other chapters in the Word of God that give a more vivid description of the battle between heaven and hell. There we see that most definitely is spoken of throughout the Word of God, but the vivid description that we see here in this chapter shows us and gives us a glimpse of what's going on in the spiritual realm. And God's going to give Daniel a glimpse of that, and indeed, He gives us a glimpse. But we see Daniel was a true veteran of spiritual warfare, and he engaged in that. And I want us to see this morning three characteristics of serving in spiritual warfare taken from the life of Daniel. Three characteristics of serving in spiritual warfare taken from the life of Daniel. Number one, I want us to see here in just a moment, we're going to see the discipline. Begin reading with me there in verse 1. It says, Daniel chapter 10, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. That was the name given to him. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Now get this in verse 2. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, which is the Tigris River in modern day, we know it as the Tigris River, it says here in verse 5, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And then verse 8, therefore, I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. We see here the account of Daniel getting this fourth vision, and we're going to see clearly, church, a man who was engaged in spiritual warfare. And I believe from these characteristics we'll see how we too are responsible for being in the service of the king and fighting, if you will, the forces of evil. Like I said, we see the first characteristic here is a characteristic of discipline. Notice in verse 2 what he says here. Now, you'll remember this is several years after the vision that was received in verse 9. And he's getting to this point where he's in verse 2, he says, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, why was Daniel sad? Was he not aware of what had just happened? God had fulfilled that prophecy in Jeremiah where the people would be let go from captivity and allowed to go back to Jerusalem? Yeah, he knew that. There was a time that, of course, he was rejoicing that indeed Cyrus the Great would allow the people to go. And by the way, that was a work of God. That was the hand of God intervening upon this pagan culture and this pagan leadership to allow the people to go back to Jerusalem. And they did. But there was an issue there that was obviously very concerning to Daniel. What was that? Well, when the green light was given by Cyrus the Great to not only let the people go, but to fund most of the voyage, to fund the going back and the rebuilding. And not only was Cyrus the Great funding that, so that was things to be excited about, but something did not happen that Daniel thought maybe should have, and so would you if you were in his shoes. And what was it? Not everybody went back. You see, it was Daniel's desire and his desire for revival to take place to this, his great people, and that all, of course, would go back to Jerusalem. But my friends, that was not the case. Because what had happened? A lot of the children of Israel did what? They got comfortable. They got comfortable in that pagan culture. They sort of took a liking to it, if you will. Saying, well, you know, this isn't so bad. Well, why do we need to go back to the place that God has chosen for us, the chosen city of God? Why do all that when, hey, we're getting along pretty good here in this pagan culture? And that broke the heart of Daniel, I'm sure. And not only that, folks, but there was another issue. The ones that did go back struggled, just like you and me. But they struggled. What was going on? Well, there were people in that society that we read in the account of Nehemiah, especially in the book of Ezra, in the context where there was enemies fighting against the leaders of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the city, the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the wall. They were getting opposition, folks. And it got to a point where there was leaders of even Jerusalem. I'm sure Daniel got word that said, "Hey guys, let's just quit. This isn't worth it." Hey, listen, there's not a person in this room, if you were being honest, that you have not come to a place like that in your Christian life. Is it worth it? Why am I doing all of this? It seems not to be working out real well for me. It seems not to be working out real well for my family. So what is the use? That's what was going on in Jerusalem. And they got word that people had quit, threw in the towel, and I'm sure that grieved the heart of Daniel. And so what did Daniel do? He understood that this was a matter of spiritual warfare. He understood the importance of getting a hold of God. And what did Daniel do? He made a beeline for the prayer closet. He made a beeline for the prayer time. And we see that we see the first characteristic of those that will serve in spiritual warfare is that of discipline. And he says here, "I was mourning." What does that mean? He was broken, folks. He was broken for 3 full weeks. What does that mean, simply mean, in our terms today? It has two aspects. It's this. It means being sad for your sin and being sad over the sin of others. Things that you realize in your life, needs to be a brokenness there. Always. But at the same time, you see sin in other people's lives, brothers and sisters in Christ, or those that have yet to come to Christ, and there is definitely a brokenness there. And that, my friend, is a spiritual need. God help us, church. God help us. When we get to the place where the sin in our lives and the sin in other people's lives really doesn't bother us. We don't want that, church. We don't want to be calloused. We don't want to be insensitive. We want to be tender. And Daniel was tender. He was sensitive to the needs in 3 full weeks. And what does it go on to say? He refrained. He refrained from what? Look what he said. He said he ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, what is Daniel saying here? He basically set aside the things that were pleasant to him. And you know something I learned in studying this, and as I understand it, it is this. The actual act of fasting does not gain favor with God. Listen, folks, fasting is preparation for your heart to be ready for God to speak. Fasting is a tool that prepares the heart of the child of God to be center-focused upon what the Lord is doing in your life, in my life, in the life of others. And I believe that Daniel here realized that, boy, I got to get away and I got to get alone with the Lord and I have got to seek His face on what's going on with this vision. I thought things were going to work out. I thought things were going good, but boy, something has happened. And Daniel is concerned. We'll see more about that here in just a minute. But he set himself apart from the pleasant bread. And he set himself apart from those things. And folks, that's something that you and I can practice. Those things that are burdened to us. We have to, as spiritual soldiers of the cross, to practice some discipline. You know, I think of times when I was in the military. And that's where I believe I gained a lot of my discipline. I got a lot more to gain. Lord knows it. But boy, that's one of the first things they target. Any of these veterans that stood up here earlier, they will give that testimony. One of the first things that the military goes for and the people's lives and the boot campers that come in and the recruits is to instill some discipline. To try to help them realize that, hey, the little things do matter in life. Like having your belt buckle shined. Any of you veterans here remember that Never Dull? Remember the Never Dull? You had to get your belt buckle shined just right. And then, boy, your shoes had to be just right. You had to have certain clothes hanging at certain places. Have your socks lined up perfectly. Man, you had to have everything. Couldn't have a wrinkle on the bed. Man, it had to be just as flat as could be. They'd come in there, and boy, they would find the least little thing wrong. You would be torn apart. You would think you just beat somebody to death. And you're being punished for it when one of your socks, your black socks, were not lined up where they should have been, and the blue socks were there where they should have been. And then you get all that. Why? What are they doing? Is that foolishness? No, they're teaching some discipline. And I believe that if we're going to be faithful servants of the Lord, we need to practice some discipline in our lives. And I believe that's what Daniel had learned. And not only do we see that he had refrained, but look, folks. It says that there in verse number 3. Look at the end of verse number 3. It says here, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now that's where I would say in discipline, not only did he refrain, but he remained. Not only had he refrained from things that were pleasant to him, but he remained in position until his duty was up. And that was when, of course, the angel came. And that is when he would get answered prayers from the Lord. But you know, he remained. And boy, can I tell you something? If you want to get punished real quick in the military, ask anybody. It is to leave your post prematurely. I'll never forget there at boot camp. We had these watches that we stood throughout the night, and there was a couple guys that thought that they could leave a little early. And I think there were several on watch, and I think a couple had agreed and that maybe they would take turns like, hey guys, tonight we'll just stand the watch. Y'all go ahead and go back to your rack. And then what we'll do is we'll take turns. That way we can catch up on our sleep. It was a good idea at the time. But it did not turn out so well because, of course, those boot camp commanders and company commanders, they would sneak in at the most unexpected times. And, of course, they would come on that night and find those two boys gone. Now, the two fellas gone. I'm telling you what, you talking about some pain. I'll never forget, boy, those company commanders. I remember in my squad bay, and I think it still gives me nightmares, to be honest with you. I don't know. But I remember we had to jump in front of, at Reveille, we had to jump up and stand in front of our rack at the position of attention, looking straight ahead. And I remember there was a door on each end of the squadron, the squad bay. And the door on this side was, of course, to the outside. The door on this side, you could go out into a hallway. But, you know, you're getting in front of your rack and you're trying to get the sleep out of your eyes. And I was probably about from a distance of that organ right there to that door. My rack was right here. So I maybe had two other racks to the left of me. And I remember standing at attention. And when you stand at attention, you're not supposed to be looking around. Not supposed to be getting the sleep out of your eyes. You're not supposed to be looking at your buddy. But I remember maybe just scratching my eye because he wasn't there yet. You always heard him when he came in. He always blew a whistle. He always started yelling at us. No one knew. And so, you know, we're wondering, where is the commander? Where is company commander? And so people are getting kind of relaxed, you know. And of course, but as soon as I put my finger up to my eye, out of my left eye, there was like a 12-inch by 12-inch foot square window in this door right here. And I remember seeing out of my left eye the ugliest, meanest looking face standing right in the window. And soon as I put my finger right there, that's when I caught him with my left eye. And I know I had to look dumb because I did this. And many others, of course, they saw me respond, and many others jumped up. But he came in the door, and of course, he'd got a hold of us and got on us for not getting at the end of our racks and standing at attention. But I tell you what, why was he make such big deals out of those things like that? Because they were instilling discipline in our lives. To make a difference. Maybe it didn't count, little things didn't matter to us at the time, but boy, after leaving there, we understood little things are important. Can I tell you, God's people, little things are important to the Lord. Little things in our life. A discipline, taking time to refrain from things that maybe we enjoy. Oh, it's not a bad thing to do this all the time. I don't really need to set this aside in my life for a time of focusing on spiritual things. Oh yes, it is important. And then we remain faithful. You see, it is important to remain at post when God has given clear indication to do that. We see discipline. But not only do we see discipline, secondly, we see discernment. Look there at verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. The Word of God says, after the angel had arrived, and believed to be the angel Gabriel from the last vision as well, came unto him again a messenger, and we see that he gives, this is what he says, the message that he has for Daniel. He says here, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. In verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, now get this, from the first day of the prayer meeting, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Can I tell you something? Daniel's given some discernment here. Can I encourage you, church? One of the first things a Christian soldier needs to be able to discern is God's faithfulness. God hears your prayer. God hears your cry. And the first thing the messenger tells Daniel is to, Daniel, settle down. I know you're afraid. I know you are concerned. But let me tell you something, Daniel. You are loved by God, and God has heard your prayer from the first day of the 3 weeks. And let me encourage you here this morning, dear church. God hears your cry. You may think that, thank God's not hearing, but He does. Those that have a heart towards Him, seeking to please Him and do right, I'm telling you right now, God hears our prayer. Hold your place there and go to Psalm 40. I say Psalm 40 because that is exactly where God led Brother Mike this morning to take the choir. I didn't have that planned. I didn't tell Brother Mike the message I was preaching on. But go over to Psalm 40 and listen to what the Lord says here and what we know, see of the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 1. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me. And what, church? Heard my cry. He heard me. And I'm telling you, He hears you. And I see the discernment here. This angel was saying, hey, Daniel, I want you to understand. Back to our passage there, Daniel chapter 10. It says, Daniel, the Lord has heard your cry. He's heard your prayer. He's heard your concern. But not only do we see here the discerning of God's faithfulness, but listen to this. We see continually there in verse 12. It says, God, thy words were heard. He said, before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. He's coming to bring the message. He's coming to bring an explanation. He's coming to answer Daniel's prayer. But look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Do you see what he's saying here? He's not only giving Daniel some discernment and understanding, look, I know you've been praying and God has been hearing your prayer, but get this. He said, I want you to know something else. You need to discern that a battle has been raging. A spiritual battle. A battle Daniel did not even know was going on. Between the angelic host, Michael, the archangel, the highest ranked angel and the host of all the angels of heaven, and Gabriel, one of God's primary messengers that we see in the Word of God. We see these two going to battle with who? None other than we see here the Prince of Persia, which is speaking, my friend, of a very powerful demon, an emissary of Satan who had control over this part of Persia, which is modern day Iran today. But at this time, we see that he had control of that area. And boy, you can't help but think that some of those same demons still have control of those areas. Still controlling those areas, especially those that would attack the children of God and the children of Israel, the people of God, the Jewish nation. But we see here that he's going to explain to him that, look, I would have been here sooner. Can I just paraphrase? Daniel, I would have been here sooner. But boy, I came to a battle. Can you imagine, God of heaven, use your sanctified imagination if you can, the God of heaven hearing the prayers of Daniel and beckoning his messenger, Gabriel, come. Gabriel's there front and center. Lord, I'm at your bidding. Anything you want, I'm here to serve you. Send me where you want. Gabriel, go back to Daniel. Go back to my servant. He's crying out to me again. He needs a message. Yes, Lord God, I am there right now. And boy, he takes off through the galaxies and through the high places. And he goes light years and a flash. And he comes into the earth's atmosphere and comes to a screeching halt. Screeching halt. What stopped him? This right here. This demon said, "Hey, Gabriel. You stop right here. You go no further." Gabriel says, "No, hey, listen, you get out of the way. I'm sent from God. I have a message to send to Daniel." And he said, "You will give no such message." Why would he try to hinder the messenger of God? Because he had a message. He had a message, and this emissary of Satan knew the importance of this message. It's giving us our last three chapters of the book of Daniel, 10, 11, and 12. We would not have these chapters that we have in our book right now if that angel would not have made it. But he says, "Oh no, I'm going." And boy, the battle started. You could see flashing of any sort going towards each other with the angelic beings fighting against each other in spiritual warfare. And boy, at times it would seem that Gabriel was winning the battle. But then, with the emissaries of Satan, they would take him back. And it was back and forth for 3 weeks. And then, message gets to Michael. Perhaps it was another angel, perhaps it was the Lord Himself saying, "Michael, you go help Gabriel now. Gabriel's in trouble. Gabriel is not making progress like he should. Go and help him." Michael, the archangel, steps on the scene. And boy, then they really go to battle. You've never seen fighting like this. We've never heard of wars like this. And man, they're going at it. And they push that king back. They push him back. And Michael says, "Gabriel, go while I'm holding them." And Michael holds the demons and he's fighting them. And Gabriel shoots through and makes it to our passage where we are right now. And says, "Daniel, I would have been here sooner, but the prince of Persia would not let me. He hindered me. The message that I was going to come." And this must have been enlightening to Daniel. And listen, church, we would be ignorant. We would be in the most rebellious way to say that we do not understand this today, because God's given it very clear in His Word. This same type of warfare is happening even today. It's not some preacher trying to be spooky up here and scare people. It's a real thing. It's a spiritual battle that is raging all above us at many times, and we don't even realize it. It is the battle of good and evil. I appreciate the church up the road here. That I don't think it's there anymore, but they had a message on their sign. It says the war of good and evil is raging. And then the next sentence was a question: which side are you on? Because it is raging, dear friend. And it's raging then, and it's raging now. Why would God send His top angels, Michael and Gabriel? Because it was that important. The message was that important. Hold your place there in Daniel and go with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Hold your place there in Daniel, and I must move quickly. Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me, please, to verse number 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now get this. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," that's talking about humans, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Now get this, "against spiritual wickedness in high places." That, my friend, is the demonic host of Satan. It's very real. And God has a place for His children to engage in this battle, and just as He would Daniel in praying. And we see here that there needs to be a discernment from God's people that this is very real. Hey, listen, let me say this. We most definitely do not need to underestimate the powers of Satan. We can't. We got to realize that these people that we know are struggling spiritually, even our own selves that are at times struggling spiritually, when we get in deep valleys and man, we don't see any way out. I want to tell you that's spiritual warfare. But get this also, we don't need to underestimate, but sometimes we overestimate the powers of darkness. Because if I read my Bible correctly, we have one and who is our God, the Lamb of God, who has gotten great victory over the powers of darkness and has claimed us to be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hey, we don't need to underestimate the enemy, but neither do we need to overestimate the enemy. Hey, our victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is going to see us through this. And that's what I believe the angel Gabriel was saying. Daniel, I want you to know your God is faithful. He loves you. He hears you. I was coming. I was hindered by the forces of hell. But I'm here. Thanks be to Michael who came and let me through. And I'm here to give you a message, and we're going to get that message in full in chapter 11. And it's going to be, of course, the revelation of the end times, of the tribulation that we've been referencing. And God is going to reveal those things to him. I'm going to give you my last point very quickly. Forgive me for breezing through this, but I, for the sake of time, I just want to give my last point here. We see that the characteristic was discipline, was discernment, but thirdly, it was determination. Let me give you this. Look at verse 19. I believe determination we see in this chapter. What does it say here in verse 19? "And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong," this angel was saying. "Yea, be strong." And when he had spoken unto me, what is the next three words, church? "I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Listen, because of Daniel's determination, he found strength. Because he didn't quit, he found strength. Because he didn't give up when the bad news came. What do you mean people are leaving Jerusalem? What do you mean half of the people won't go? What do you mean they're marrying the Ammonites and others of the pagan societies? What do you mean they're mixed marriaging? What's going on? I'm through with this. I'm 86 years old. I've been doing this all my life. I'm sick of it. Y'all can have it. It could have been Daniel. But Daniel said, "Oh God, I'm burdened. I'm coming to you." Listen, no less than 10 times in this chapter, no less than 10 times, characteristics, descriptions of Daniel are given. What are they? I don't have time to go through them, but I was mourning. I ate no pleasant bread. What else does it say in verse 7? It says, I was alone. There was no strength in me. My strength turned to corruption. What does he say in verse 11? I stood trembling. It goes on in verse 12. I became dumb. And verse 16, my sorrows are turned upon me. I have no strength. He said, there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. I see a man who was desperate. He was broken for God, but he did not give up. And dear friends, if there's someone here today and you feel like throwing in the towel, you feel like your work in the Lord is in vain, you don't feel like you're making any headway, can I say, hold on a little longer. Stay in the fight. You could be at the very brink of seeing God make a breakthrough in your life or in the life of others. Hey, I'm telling you right now, Daniel, he was determined not to give up, but to be strengthened. I love Isaiah 26:4. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26:4. Listen, I like what Spurgeon said about determination. He said, to plod on under apparent failure is one of the most acceptable of all works of faith. And he who can do it year after year is assuredly well-pleasing unto God. Failure is going to come, dear friends. Discouragement's going to come. Disappointment's going to come. But we got to stay faithful and steadfast to the Almighty and know that He will make some breakthroughs. It may not be on my timeline. It may not be in the way I thought He should. But God is faithful. And He hears my cry. And oh, He sends His messengers unto us at His perfect timing. The angels are coming even on our behalf. They're fighting battles above us that we don't even see even now. The battle over souls, the battle over countries. Hey, listen, I could be off on this, but it is my opinion that there was a great battle raging over this country on Election Day last year. I believe that, friend. I don't stand here and say that I believe Donald Trump's a saint, but I believe that there was a battle raging of good and evil. And I believe it happens all over this world, countries that were trying to get into the gospel. Countries where demons are over and seeking to hinder the gospel. There are communities, there are neighborhoods in this community that it happens. Satan's going to do everything he can to hinder the work of God. But I want to tell you, God's going to see us through it. Now I see here, and we'll see, Daniel will be glad that he held on at the age of 86. Boy, he's going to see God's faithfulness. God says, oh, wait a minute. Oh, thank you, Gabriel. Thank you for coming and speaking to me. I'm strengthened now. I'm understanding that God hadn't lost His faithfulness. It's all going to work out. God's going to restore His nation. His people will come back. He'll set up His kingdom. Daniel is realizing, oh, Gabriel, thank you. I have found strength. And then the battle continues, my dear friends. How do I know that? Look what the Bible says. After Daniel was strengthened, look what this dear angel says in verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I've come unto thee? In other words, you know why I've come. And now I will return to fight the prince of Persia. Hey, you know what that says in our Bible? The battle continues. Even to this day. I got to go back and continue the fight. I got to get back to Michael. And Michael and Gabriel had an agreement, because we see in verse number 1 of chapter 11 how Gabriel gave testimony that, hey, I did the same thing for Michael. Michael was in a fight. He couldn't make it much headway, but I came and helped him. And may we understand that there's a spiritual warfare raging. But I want to tell you something. We as God's people here on this earth, His children, we got to do our part. The angels will do theirs. But my friends, you know what engaged the angels? Was the human being, the child of God who was here on earth praying, making intercession. That's what caused God to say, Gabriel, come. Go to Daniel right now. He's in trouble. He needs to hear from us. And oh, my friends, we don't need angels to come to us in this day, because you know why? We got God's Holy Spirit living within us. Who needs an angel to speak to me when I have God Himself living in me? And He speaks to us daily. And if you will listen to Him and be in His Word, I'm telling you what, dear friends, God will speak to you. He will give you the strength you need to not give up. And lives will be changed. Souls will be saved. Oh, churches will be revived. Oh, blessed be His holy and precious name. You know, one of my favorite wars to study is World War II. Anytime I see a World War II, any veteran, but especially a World War II veteran, I'm not kidding, I just want to go up and hug them. I want to get their autograph. I want to honor them. I just want to let them know how much I appreciate what they did. But one of the greatest battles that I enjoy studying is, of course, around D-Day. And one of the things specific of D-Day, though, even more specific, is I lived in France. I went over there and saw this place called the Pointe du Hoc. The Pointe du Hoc was a huge cliff, upright, straight up in the air. And there was a group of over 200 men of the 2nd and 5th Battalion Rangers. They were Rangers, and they were selected voluntarily. They were voluntarily given, and then they were selected after they gave of themselves. There was a certain elite group chosen over those that volunteered, and they determined that they would be the first ones to land that morning of D-Day. And they would go, and they would go and climb that rock themselves under the enemy fire going straight down. Why were they doing that? Why were they willing to give themselves? They were going up to take out these gigantic guns that were aimed straight upon Utah Beach, that would go as far as Omaha Beach and so on, just to lay out the Allied soldiers as they were coming onto the beach. They wanted to take those guns out first. And that's exactly what they did. Boy, they got off of those boats. They climbed those walls. Many died. Over 70 died. But they climbed until they reached the bunker. And these big cement bunkers, I climbed in them myself. The walls are that thick. The holes are that small from where the guns are. And then there are certain entry points that were sort of secretive. And they had to climb up under enemy fire to get into those places to kill those German soldiers and to secure those places to prevent the guns from taking out all those soldiers. They gave of themselves. There was a great struggle, a tremendous struggle. You can only imagine the men that gave their lives that morning at 6 a.m. as they climbed up that rock under enemy fire. They struggled. There was a warfare. But you know what they did? I'm telling you, I saw the size of the guns. I'm telling you, they probably saved hundreds and thousands of lives by taking out those guns. And I want to tell you something, friends. We, as God's soldiers, we need to determine now that we too are going to fight in the battle of spiritual warfare. And we do that by what? By being disciplined people, by being discerning people, and by being devoted and dedicated people. Determined to do exactly what the Lord has called us to do and not to throw in the towel. Listen, I think of some of God's veterans that are now in glory. I think of one recently, Brother James Harris, who was a soldier of the cross. He interceded. He prayed to God to bring revival. He loved the Jewish people. He did a great work for God on his time on earth. But he's gone on to glory. And we need to ask ourselves, with veterans like that, who will continue? Who will engage in this battle that Jesus has won? But He says, you come and fight for me and with me. And that's what we have to decide. Let's pray. Father, the message has gone longer this morning, Father, than I usually like to. But God, I pray that You would, in spite of that, Lord, that You would just work in hearts. We do not want to rush things that, Lord, could have a eternal impact. Would You help us in the following moments of our invitation, God? Would You help us to reflect upon whether or not we are fulfilling our responsibility in spiritual warfare? Do we think it to be a game? Do we think it to be make-believe? Or do we truly understand the battle is raging? Almighty God, you have chosen to use your people here on earth to pray, to engage. And Father, I confess to you, I have failed miserably. And I pray that even this morning, God, that there would even be an increase of fervency, of time spent in prayer more than ever before. Oh, mighty God, we need you and we ask you to help us to be true veterans, veterans who have served faithfully our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So God, we commit this invitation to you now. We pray that you would have your will and way. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.